Hello and welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. John Cook. I'm glad you joined us. In today's study, we will continue our series on Systematic Theology 2. Today, we are carrying on with lesson number 23 in this series. We will deal with finding the will of God.
We'll get right into our series right after this.
Now join in progress, part 5 of 8 in our study. Know God without getting into the Word of God and spending time in prayer talking to God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This command is only found in the King James Bible. All other Bibles have removed it. Somebody doesn't want us to know the Word of God, doesn't want us to study the Word of God. Guess who? Now, study is not fun for the flesh. Ecclesiastes 12:12 says, "Much study is a weariness of the flesh." But like the Bereans, we are to search the Scriptures, whether what we are taught is so. Listen to what he says in Acts 17:11 concerning them. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." They did not just blindly accept what they heard, but they checked the Scripture to see if what they were being taught was according to the Word of God. The authority in our lives must be the Word of God. All safety is found in giving ourselves into God's hands for protection and leadership. Look what Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." We look not for safety, but for service for the Lord. The most important thing in our life is to do God's will, no matter the cost. Our singular purpose is to magnify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death." All we are to seek is for Christ to be magnified in our bodies, living or dying. If it be death, then Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21 answers that. "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." In our prayer life, we are to seek God's will. Look at what Romans chapter 8 and verse 27 says. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." What a wonderful promise. Think about it. The Holy Spirit of God works in our prayer life, making intercession for us, adjusting our prayers to agree with the will of God. What a great privilege. What a great blessing. Because of this same blessing, we find in Romans 8:28, that the Scripture says, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." The Holy Spirit of God adjusts our prayers to the purpose of God, and thus gives us the assurance that whatever comes, it will be to our benefit. For we love God and are called according to his purpose. The Holy Spirit of God brings about the purpose of God in us because we are surrendered to God. The will of God is totally contrary to the will of man, according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Listen to what it says. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The most natural thing for the flesh is to exalt itself. But God tells us that we are not to do that, but rather we are to leave the exalting up to God. Look what 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Far from exalting ourselves, far from putting ourselves out front, we are to humble ourselves. Humbling of self can never be done in the power of the flesh. We must have the power of God working in us to obey this scripture. In all humility, we should cry out with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. We are what we are by the grace of God. We are nothing but what God makes us. We have nothing to brag about but God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I will glory in the cross, in the cross. Certainly, that's not something the flesh would do. We are to labor for our Savior. Look what Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 tells us. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The word fervent means that I'm to be on fire for God. God does not want lukewarm Christians giving lukewarm service. According to Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, when God speaks to the church of Laodicea and says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. In other words, God doesn't want lukewarm service. And he won't accept it. Get in and serve God, or get out and quit hurting the testimony of God with your slothfulness. Having presented ourselves a living sacrifice to God, we are then to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, given to us in Romans chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Jesus willingly endured the trials, and so are we to willingly endure the trials and testings of this life. We are to do the will of God, even if doing the will of God goes contrary to our will. And it most certainly will go contrary to the will of the flesh. Doing the will of God brings contentment in our lives. It is the will of God in our lives that we walk in fellowship with God. To do that, we have to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of this flesh and live holy lives for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
We cleanse ourselves by confessing our sins to God and putting our sins under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By following the command of the Scripture, we will then be vessels unto honor for the Savior's use. That's what 2 Timothy 2:21 says. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Walking in fellowship with God means we obey 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses us. Our fellowship is then dependent on the Savior's cleansing us from all sin.